Hello, and welcome to the Sunday service of Calvary Chapel Foothill Ranch with Pastor Steve DeNicola.
Now, last week, we shared on the Good Samaritan, didn't we? And I warned you, I said, this week you're going to have opportunities for the Lord to use you in different ways. Now, I want to take a little bit of time. Like I told you at the beginning, if you weren't here for the beginning of service, this is a little bit different service than normal here, okay? And one of the things that's different is we had a lot of announcements and we're having just kind of more interaction. But I really felt as I prayed this morning before the Lord, I felt like the Lord wanted me to shorten the message and spend a little bit more time with these interactive things because today he just wants to encourage us. And so anyway, some people have shared with me this week, several people, about different things that the Lord has been doing in their lives and how the Lord has used them and used others to bless them in the way of a good Samaritan. So I'm going to give an opportunity for testimony to those that would like to share a little testimony.
Okay. Yesterday, after the Jonathan Sperry performance, we went out to our car. Well, we stopped and had a piece of pizza because after watching the movie, Penny got a thing for pizza. So we went over to New York Upper Crust, had some pizza, and we went out to the car and noticed there was a flat tire on the back. Just bought these tires, brand new. And I looked, and there was about a half-inch bolt sticking out of the tread, and I go, oh, great. So I get the jack out, and I get the car jacked up, and I can't get the lug nuts off because they're just, way over-tightened. So we call AAA, and we wait about 10 minutes. Tow truck driver shows up, and he gets out there and tries his best to get them off, and he gets a huge breaker bar and finally breaks them loose. And we're starting to have a conversation. He says, we just moved to the area. And he asked us what we were doing there at the parking lot, and he says, that's where we've gone to see a movie. He says, yeah, we went and seen the Jonathan Sperry movie. He says, oh, my wife had been talking about that. I go, oh, really? It's really great. It's, it's about the Lord's message and how to get, believers out there to spread the word and share the Lord with other people. And he said, we're looking for a church. We had been considering Saddleback, and but we're looking for a smaller congregation. I said, oh, really? And I said, we happen to have a nice congregation just down the street in Foothill Ranch Calvary Chapel. And so it was, we exchanged, back and forth about how great it was and that it was really kind of the message that the movie was giving to us. And then he just came to us and we were able to share with him.
Amen.
And we thought that was pretty great. So that bolt on the freeway turned out to be, who cares?
Yeah. Divine. Amen. That was so neat. The Lord just does different things. And there's a couple ladies back here that had something that they might want to share too.
Should I stand? Doesn't matter.
You could stand.
Friday, I was at lunch with my girlfriend. We went to just a fast food place, and we were sitting there minding our own business, eating, and I happened to be facing out the window, and I saw a homeless man in a wheelchair, and he rolled up, and there was a gentleman sitting outside, and they had a conversation, and I saw the gentleman outside get up and come in and buy a drink, and then he went out and gave the gentleman a drink, and then he left, and the homeless man was there by himself, and I looked at my friend. I said, Christy, I have to buy him lunch. I just, it's just after the message. So she said, okay. She says, I want to do it too. So I went up and I got some food and I took it out to him and I just gave it to him. And he said, what's this for? I said, oh, well, this is lunch for you. And he says, oh, well, who's it from? He was being really smart actually. He says, who's it from? I said, well, it's from the Lord. And he says, oh, did I miss him? I always miss him. Where is he? I didn't see him. I said, but he lives. He's here right in my heart and he loves you. So have a blessed day. And then after that, he was nicer. And then the other part was when I went in and my girlfriend said, that was so cute. That was so sweet. I could just see his face. She said, but the guy in front of us said to me, he's an alcoholic, right? And she said, yeah, maybe he is, but he's still needy, and so we wanted to give him lunch. So the Lord opened the door to do that.
Praise the Lord. Amen.
The Lord also gave me the opportunity to put into practice what Pastor Steve talked about last week. And I had gone grocery shopping on Friday night as well. And I was I had opened up my trunk, and I was ready to put all my stuff in the trunk. And I see this woman with a stroller and her baby in the stroller. And as she's walking towards me, she's speaking. It sounded like it was a different language, but then when she got closer, it was English. And she said, "Oh, my baby, my baby, my baby's hungry. I need food, I need food, I need money, I need money." And afterwards, I thought, I remember seeing her before. I mean, it had been a while back, but my first was like, oh, you know, this is just a scam. But then I really felt the Holy Spirit telling me, you need to give her some food, you know. So I knew I didn't want to give her money. I wanted to give them food. So as I had my groceries right there in front of me, I looked through them, and I had a box of Life cereal. And I gave her, I says, "Well, your baby likes cereal?" She says, "Oh, yeah, yeah." I says, "Well, here you go." So I gave her the box of Life. So,
the gift of life. Praise the Lord. And that's a great point that both Diane and Mary brought up, and that is, when you see the homeless, I don't normally give money. Okay, I have given a couple dollars at different times when the Lord really prompts me to, but normally they're going to use their money for drugs, alcohol, or cigarettes. And for their habits and addictions. But I will buy them food. I think that we have a Christian responsibility to feed the hungry. Amen. And it takes a whole lot more effort to actually buy them food, go into line like you had to do and stand and wait. Or a lot of times I'll say, you know, hey, there's such and such right here, or I'll take you down over there and buy you a meal. Sometimes we'll just sit down and talk, and I'll have an opportunity to talk with them. So that's really great that we're actually giving them what they really need instead of just a quick, you know, few dollars out of our wallets. Anybody else have something to share?
About being a sacrifice, I had planned buying that box of cereal to go home and have that for dinner. So it was the sacrifice. I was like, man, now I can't have my cereal.
I thought Brent was the only one who had cereal for dinner. This is getting a very, very popular dinner. So anybody else have something where the Lord kind of used you this week in that way that from the message last week and you wanted to share? You got a different one for
yes,
this service?
I actually
she had
did.
A great one for first service. You missed it.
Well,
after the service, ask her about
yes,
first service.
Yes, yes, please do. It is a blessing. So, but actually, the Lord did this twice. He spoke to me this week whenever I was in a parking lot and I was going shopping at not a grocery store. It was just a regular, you know, Walmart. So sorry, I was spending money again. But anyway, I went was shopping, and I was going in the parking lot, and I saw a woman approaching me. And immediately I thought, oh, she's going to ask for money. And the same thing goes through my mind as everyone else does. Like, I'm not going to give her money. She's just going to use it. And I walked on by as if to not see her. And I thought, nope. That wasn't the message that I was supposed to hear. And the Lord's voice was a lot louder than hers because she actually wasn't speaking. And I realized, wait a minute. And the Lord spoke to me and told me that she was deaf. I thought, oh, okay. So I turned back around and I signed language to her and said, are you trying to talk to me? And she nodded her head, yes. And I walked back, and then she had a little piece of paper in it. In fact, she was struggling financially and she had children. And she didn't have a job because she was deaf and dumb. So at that point, I thought, Lord, actually, you do want me to give her money. And I had to overstep my boundaries and say, in this moment, this is a time whenever she does need to be financially supported. So I actually helped her there. So it was pretty neat that the Lord kind of stopped me and turned me back around. And whenever she didn't even have a voice.
Praise the Lord. That is awesome. We have to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. Amen? Anybody else? Something you want to share? John? Well, wait a minute. There you go, Sherry.
I wasn't here last week, but...
yeah, I missed you.
Well, I haven't been here for a while.
I know. I missed you.
Well, I need to talk to you about that.
Not now you're being
right.
Recorded.
we're in
but
Bullhead.
But don't get nervous.
Okay, we're in Bullhead.
You're in Bullhead
we
now?
We were in Bullhead.
Oh,
no,
you were
in
Bullhead.
Arizona. And I needed some medication, and not expecting to be there that long. and I was at Walgreens, and when we went in, we noticed a man was having trouble with his vehicle over off in the parking lot, and I always feel that tug, you know. My husband's a mechanic. We went in, and it was going to be a while, so we came back out, and we're sitting outside. I said, kept knocking him, go over there and see if he needs your help. It took me about 10 minutes to finally get him to go over there and do the Christ-like thing. He goes, well, I'll do it, because every time I do, I always feel better. Well,
does anybody relate to that?
So the guy couldn't get his car started, so he was going to leave it there, and he asked for a ride home, which was another, I don't know, couple miles down the road. So we gave him a ride home, and, you know, he was like 73, and he was out there, and it was like 120. So we did get him home, and he happens to have his own little fishing hole, so he says, come by and go fishing anytime you want. So we did the next week. When we came back, we did go fishing. So,
well, you got blessed. And,
yeah.
You were blessing.
Yeah, we actually
and then
caught
you
a fish,
blessed.
So we ate it for dinner.
Good word. John has something back there.
I had two examples of people returning Samaritan-type things to me. Wow. My mother had surgery on Wednesday for her eye, and my mother was raised a Catholic. I was raised a Catholic. And I've given her Bibles. We've talked for many years. And I told her I would be praying for her to go in for this cataract surgery. And 10 years ago, she had cataract surgery on her other eye. And it was terrible. It took months to get right. And it was just an awful thing. So before she went in, she actually gave a testimony out of Jeremiah that I almost drove off the road. After, and this is not a person who studies the Bible, this is a person who believes in Jesus Christ, and after the surgery, I called her, and she said, well, you were right, your prayers worked, the Lord made it so smooth that I can already see out of my right eye.
Praise the Lord.
And that was in 48 hours. And she had it covered completely to that time. So we'll find out more today. But the second thing was, is my secretary, who's Austrian, I gave her a John MacArthur Bible. I give those away a lot. And I'm going through some awful times with my ex, who has pursued me for a long time for reasons unknown to me. But my secretary came back, saw that I had heard, you know, gotten papers and things in the mail that were just awful, and she knows about the situation. And then I got some encouragement from the courts on Wednesday, and she heard it because I was playing the voicemail out loud because I couldn't believe what I was hearing. And she walked in and she said, see, God's fixing what you can't. So
I love when he does that.
So twice it got turned on me, and just this week, and it was all in the same day. So I just tried to recover and get on with the week. But you know, if you minister to others, they can minister to you in the most surprising way.
Amen. Give and it shall be given back to you. Amen. Great stories. Thank you, people. Now, I have another one that I want to have Dave come up and share with you. Some of you don't know, but Dave Packard is the one who set up our blog spot and that holds all our podcasts and all the messages way back, he said, to 2 Samuel are there on the web, and you can click in on all the past messages for over 3 years. And some of you have taken advantage of that at different times. Now, Dave set it all up, and Cameron is actually the one now who takes the CDs after Sunday morning, and he uploads them up to the website there and actually loads them on. And I so much appreciate Cameron. And there's people like Samuel Reba are still keeping track with us and joining us in our teachings. And Andy and Vidya are doing that as well, and others that have, you know, had different times, they've gone on trips or whatever, or they're out of town, or they maybe are sick and miss a Sunday, you can get up there, and depends upon how fast Cameron gets it up there, then you can catch up. So anyway, Dave shared with me something that just really touched my heart, so I wanted to give him an opportunity to share with you as well.
The server that we keep our podcasts on keeps track of statistics, and when I first started doing the podcast, I used to look at it all the time and see, oh yeah, we got 5 downloads, and that's really cool, you know, and maybe 10 or whatever, and that was really neat that, you know, the body could use it in that way, and maybe people were sending the link and having other people get it. Well, I didn't look at it for a long time, and just out of the blue, I was sitting with my laptop on my lap, and I thought, I should look and see what our statistics are nowadays. We're getting hundreds of downloads on our podcasts. So people, hundreds of people, are actually downloading the services and listening to it. And one of the most amazing things is that the majority of those downloads, by probably 2/3, is China. China. So I don't, you know, I know that they're downloading them. I don't know what they're doing with them. But I don't, you know, I don't, well, it's, they're in English. So I don't know if there's, you know, an English speaker that's downloading them and translating them for people to hear, or if it's just English speakers, expats that are there that are listening. I don't know. But it's just awesome that that all these downloads are coming from China. And that's a, you know, that's a country that needs as much as it can get. So.
Anyway. Amen. So isn't that exciting? So the church in China, and Dave said that they're going sequential. So they started more primarily in Exodus and are moving forward with us as we are learning. And so they're getting together in groups, listening to the Word of God with us. And so it's like the church is united. So think about it. You have an opportunity right now to talk to your brothers and sisters in China. What would you want to say? What do you want to tell them? Anybody?
God loves you.
Hallelujah. Anybody else? This is from the church in America. Anybody got something to share with the church in China? Anybody? Anybody else? Larry?
Ni hao.
Ni hao. Hallelujah. Anybody else? What was that? You guys are trying to talk Chinese. So I am just so encouraged that the body of Christ throughout the world, we are all growing and being blessed and nurtured by the same word of God. Amen? It is so good. You know, as I was a kid growing up, it was always exciting when we ever got a pound box of See's candy. We'd never get more than a pound, usually, but somehow it'd be given to us or whatever. It was a rare treat to get a box of See's candy, and of course, Mom would want to share it with us kids. Usually, it'd just be one piece, so you'd have this box of candy, and you got to pick one piece out of that box, and you're just looking at this incredible display of delicious delights, thinking, which one should I pick? Does anybody relate to this story? Sure, we do. And, you know, you're just going, should I pick the long ones because they'll last a little longer, or the fat ones? But I've had some fat ones I didn't like. And so you're just like, oh, there's this dilemma, you know. You just want to stick your finger right in the bottom of that to see what's inside, don't you? So that was a no-no in our house. So anyway, you know, you're just struggling over that. And now that we've gotten a little older and more sophisticated, and we've got a lot of pound boxes of See's candy in our history, we know a little bit more what we want and what we don't want, don't we? But, you know, as childlike as that is about decisions, as we become Christians and follow Jesus, make a decision to follow Jesus, we have a lot of decisions we have to make daily. And we're going to study today about two sisters who had to make some choices and decisions about how they were going to worship and serve the Lord. And one's name is Martha, the other's name is Mary. And that's where we are in our study today in Luke chapter 10, verse 38. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word. And as we are coming to your word, we ask that you would speak to us. And Lord, we are so amazed at how your word is so relative to us. We've seen so many examples just of how you want to use us, and Lord, bless us and encourage us, just like from the message last week and the story of the Good Samaritan. And Lord, what do you want to do in our lives this week? How do you want to speak to us this week, Lord? By your Spirit, I ask that you would speak into our hearts personally, in Jesus' name. Amen. So Luke chapter 10, verse 38. Now it happened as they went that Jesus entered a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. Now we know this village, Bethany, was a short distance from Jerusalem, about 2 miles. And you might remember that Jesus spent most of his last week on earth there in this house, in this village of Bethany. Martha was probably the oldest sister, and she probably owned the house. It was probably hers, either by inheritance or it was hers by marriage, and perhaps her husband had passed on. Mary probably being the younger sister, and we see Mary in three different places in the Bible. It's interesting. Out of the three places we see Mary, two of the times she is at the feet of Jesus. This woman loved to be at Jesus' feet. Now, they lived with a brother named Lazarus, and Lazarus isn't mentioned in this story at all. And he probably is there seated next to Jesus as well, while Mary and he are next to Jesus there, and he's talking to them, and Martha is readying and preparing for a meal and for the social gathering. That's the way we read it. But you got to remember, Jesus didn't travel alone. So it's not just Jesus pops in and they've got one unexpected guest, because we've seen throughout our study in Luke that where Jesus went, at least 12 apostles or disciples went with him. And oftentimes, he had dozens of others. So there are at least 15 people gathered here, at least 13 unexpected guests, and possibly, very possibly, more. So you have to understand that as we read this story. And it says in verse 40, "But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she approached him and said, 'Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to help me.'" There is so much in this little verse as we look at it. Martha, it says, was distracted. She was overworked. Why? Because there was so much serving to be done to care for the needs of their guest. And Mary wasn't helping. Mary was just there, relaxing, sitting at the feet of Jesus, drinking in his words, listening to him teach. And it was customary for the men to sit with the rabbi and hear him teach. But this was not permitted for women to do. And so it's very interesting as we read this and understand the culture of that day, that Jesus had a whole different attitude than most rabbis would have in his day and age, because they would not have allowed a woman to sit with the men and be taught. In the synagogues, and those of you that are going to Israel next month, we're going to be going to the synagogue in Capernaum, and the guide will talk to you, and he'll share with you how that one floor was for the men down below, and the women got the rafters up above, because you weren't supposed to mix, because to mix the sexes in the worship of God was distracting to the worship of God. Quite frankly, that can happen sometimes. And so there was a very very distinct isolation of the sexes during the time of teaching and interaction with a rabbi. And so we don't fully appreciate Jesus' attitude toward women until we really understand the culture and we look at these stories like this. Now, let's look at some things in Martha's word. These words that Martha speaks point to us of the dangers that come to our hearts, our minds, when you and I leave the simplicity of just simply sitting at the feet of Jesus, reading his word and listening to the voice of his spirit that wants to speak to us. But before we do, I want to say this. Many times we wrongly contrast Martha as this non-spiritual servant and Mary as this very spiritual saint that wants to sit at the feet of Jesus. And when we do that, we don't fully appreciate or understand the story. And so we want to be careful not to miss the important point, and that is this. We need Marthas, we need Marys. We need worshipers, and we need workers in the body of Christ. However, there's a time for work, and there's a time for worship. And I was so blessed. Yesterday we had 150 people that we serve a meal to in this building. We've never served that many people for the premier celebration party that we had after the movie yesterday afternoon. Many of you were here. And this place didn't look like this. Frankie, who played Albert in the movie, came into the sanctuary, and I had my arm around his shoulder, and I told him, Frankie, I just want you to know that you were my favorite in the whole movie. You know why, don't you? Because Frankie always said the wrong thing at the wrong time. And my mom can tell you, I was just like Frankie. I could relate to this kid. And it was like, finally, I found somebody else that knows my struggle. So I just love this kid. And he comes into the sanctuary and looks around. And I said, this is our sanctuary. And he looked and he said, this is your sanctuary. And I'm thinking, he's saying that because we got all these tables and chairs in here. And it wasn't. He said, this your sanctuary? And his dad looked at him and says, yeah, Frankie, remember when our church first started, we had a little tiny sanctuary too. This kind of reminds me of our church. Frankie said, yeah, it's kind of homey. I kind of like this place. So it's kind of fun. But this place was altogether different. It was a banquet hall yesterday, wasn't it? There were chairs and tables all over the whole church. 189 to be exact. Suzette counted them because she set most of them up. Now, the thing is this church transformed in a matter of minutes. I mean, it was amazing, all these people working. And what really blessed me was that several of the people in the worship team were helping and working to set this sanctuary back up for this morning. And then it was interesting how in prayer this morning, when I prayed with the worship team, several people prayed about this place being a sanctuary and a place for the Lord to meet us, and how blessed we were, and how the Lord just comes here and meets us in this place, and this can be a holy tabernacle for Him. And I thought it interesting because we need that in ourselves. We need to be worshipers, and we need to be workers. What we don't want to be is a worshiper or a worker. And that's the challenge for us today, because there are worshipers and workers all over this congregation. But what I'm saying is, the heart of the Lord is that we all need to be worshipers and we all need to be workers. So do you come here to work? Great. But don't neglect coming here to worship as well. Take time to worship. That's what I love about the fact that we have two services now, because it can provide one service in which you can serve the Lord, because we have people serving right now that are working for the Lord. And they came first service and they were worshiping the Lord. So you can have that opportunity, can't you? Do you come here to worship? Well, I hope you come here to work as well and to serve the Lord in His church. And so we want to see here that Martha is distracted. And why is she distracted? Because she's doing things that she wants to do to make it extra special for Jesus. Is that unreasonable? If you had Jesus come to your house, wouldn't you want to make it extra special for Him? Sure you would. She wants to honor Him and His disciples. She wants to bless them. The problem is that's not what Jesus wants. She wants to bless Jesus, but it's not what He wants. Notice, though, that Jesus never rebukes Martha for being a servant. He never rebukes her for her service. He only rebukes her for her attitude and her focus. She's lost it. And what does He say to her? He says, you're troubled. You're worried, Martha. Let's examine what's happened in our lives, because this happens to you and I, not just Martha. It happens to you and I when we lose our focus and we start to focus away from what the Lord wants us to focus on onto other things. And we all have this problem. And the first thing is her focus led her to what? To self-pity. Her focus led her to self-pity. And we all know this when this happens. We have unexpected guests come, many more than we had planned for dinner, and panic sets in. I mean, you've all been there. We have had it where we've had the table set up for six, and all of a sudden we have 10, and it's this mad scramble. Well, she had the table set up for three, and all of a sudden there's 16 at least. And so she's scrambling, and it's frustrating. This word distracted, Jesus says, Martha, Martha, you are distracted. The word distracted literally means to be pulled away or drawn away. That's a very powerful description, because isn't this exactly what happens to you and me? When we want to spend time at the feet of Jesus, we want to spend time just soaking in His Word and listening to Him, and obligations and distractions come and they pull us away or drag us away from our time with the Lord. It's the same struggle we have. We have this same struggle that Martha has, this tendency toward these distractions. In his book, First Things First, Stephen Convey says this. He shares what happens when we get distracted and don't take focusing on what's really important first. He says this, people expect us to be busy, overworked. It's become a status symbol in our society. If we're busy, we're important. If we're not busy, we're embarrassed to admit it. Busyness is where we get our security. It's validating, popular, and pleasing. It is also a good excuse for not dealing with the first things in our lives. And so busyness will always rob us from the best. It will distract from what God really wants us to focus on, busyness and distractions. And so then we become filled with self-pity. But it doesn't stop there, because number two, self-pity will lead to anger. We see that in this verse too. Like I said, there's a lot in Martha's words here, these few words, these couple of sentences. I believe Martha's intentions were noble. When she began to serve, she wanted to do the right thing. She wanted to do the best thing. She wanted to honor the Lord. And she probably even had a good attitude about things. I mean, she was probably a go-getter and a visionary. She knew she had company. She started putting things together and lining up. Okay, this is how it can happen. And she probably had a good attitude and was getting things ready. But you know what? Every one of us has seen times when we had a great plan and it slowly unraveled and fell apart. And that's probably what started happen to Martha. She realized that this task was just too big. She ran short on time and short on resources. And all of a sudden, things started to go wrong. And she realized, I got to clear the table off before it can be set. And now the pot just overboiled, and I got this mess to clean up, and I've got to make this over here. And so she's needing help. She's frantic. She wants help. But Mary, she doesn't want to help. In fact, I'm certain that from these words that Martha had already signaled to Mary. She's gone to the doorway, and she is like, Mary has ignored her. Mary's still ignoring her. Get over here right now. And Mary is oblivious. She doesn't care. She doesn't want to. And I have a feeling that Jesus himself has seen this gesture going on between the two of them. And she is frantic. Martha's like wanting help. Now, Charles Hummel, in his book, Freedom from the Tyranny of the Urgent, notes this. Tension and frustration mount when we are performing the wrong tasks or trying to cram too many of the right activities into a given period. A critical spirit develops and we begin to judge and condemn others for what they do or don't do. Anytime you feel a wave of criticism gaining momentum in your spirit, remember that it's completely out of line as far as God is concerned. And so self-pity leads to anger, but it doesn't stop there, because number three is exactly what Charles tells us. When we are angry with others, we tend to find fault with them. So our anger now goes another step further to now we start finding fault with them. Can you see Martha bursting from the kitchen? Finally, she has just had it up to here, and she bursts from the kitchen, and she comes into the room and she's yelling, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me alone to serve? Therefore, tell her to help me. And notice Martha doesn't even call her by her name. It is my sister, not Mary. Now tell me, any of you women, have you ever felt like this? Can you relate it all to Martha? You know, you're entertaining a large group and everything is all been wonderful. Everybody's gone home and now you've got a mess. The house is a disaster. The dishes are piled up. And where's your husband? He's laying on the couch watching TV. And the worst thing about it, the TV's on and he's taking a nap. He's sleeping and you got all this work to do. You're just like, ah. Or, you know, this happens when the kids need help with the homework. And you're just going, ah, there's just so much that needs to be done. Or the house needs cleaning and you're sick. And it still needs cleaning. But it'll wait until you get better, sweetheart. Or you have a bunch of work to do and your spouse is busy doing needlework or surfing the internet, finding new ways to spend money. And so all of us can relate to this because all of us struggle with these same things of self-pity, leading to anger, leading to finding fault with one another. We've all been there. Hopefully, not so recently, but possibly so. So now let's look what this all finally really leads to Martha concluding, because it gets really dangerous at this point four. Did you notice her statement? Martha says this, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Number four, once we begin to find fault with others, we will eventually begin to question God's love for us. And this is the dangerous place. Notice, in anger, she addresses Jesus and she tells him to direct her sister to help her. She's hurt that Jesus would actually allow Martha to just sit and not do anything to help her. And he knows she needs help. Certainly, if he cared about her, he would have done something and told her to come and help me. He would not allow me to be treated like this if he cared for me. If he really loved me, he would not let this happen to me. And notice, now Martha is now directing Jesus and telling him how he is to demonstrate his care and his love for her. This is how you're to do it, Jesus. How dangerous this gets when we get to this position of feeling like Jesus or God does not care about us, and we start telling him or thinking in our minds how he should be demonstrating his love and his care for us, because it's at this place that the enemy comes in and all sorts of wicked and evil things happen. This is the place where a lot of people fall away and they get discouraged and distraught with their relationship with God, and they start to walk away. Maybe some of you have been there. Maybe some of you are in this place. I don't know. Maybe some of you have been there and you've come back and you can relate. You say, yeah, that's what happened to me. Because this is a very vulnerable place. We're vulnerable to the attack of the enemy when we become disappointed with God. It reminds me of a time when Peter and the disciples were there with Jesus. It's in John chapter 21. Jesus is risen from the dead. And then he comes back. He has breakfast by the seashore with his disciples. And he starts to talk to Peter. And he tells Peter what's going to happen in the future in his life. And instead of Peter wanting a little more clarity about what's going to happen for the future of his life, which you think, I have a few questions I'd be asking Jesus. What does Peter want to know about? Well, Peter asks him, well, what about John? What's going to happen with him? And Jesus says, you don't worry about John. You just worry about you. And that's the problem. We tend to want to look at other people. What's God doing with them? How is he directing them? And why isn't he directing them to do what we want them to do as well? And so the key point here is we become disappointed with God when we strive to tell him how others should live and what they should be doing or not doing. So how do we keep our focus right? How do we keep our priorities straight and keep them in place? Verse 41 tells us, Then Jesus answered and said to her, Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things. So when we're worried and we're overburdened with things, we need to what? Refocus our life on what Jesus has truly told us to do, what he's calling us to do, what he's speaking to our lives and our hearts to do, to focus on that. Notice that Jesus doesn't reject Martha's service. He simply tells her, look, Martha, you're overly concerned about too many things. You're overly distracted about things. You're trying too hard. You're putting too much importance on what is not really that important in the big scheme, the big picture. So what she's doing is she's giving to Jesus what she wants to give to him, but not what he wants to receive from her. And this is something that is all too human. This is something that's all too common. We do this in relationships all the time. In marriage, we do this. We go to work, we provide for things, we fix things or do our duties around the house, and we feel like we have satisfied our duty as a husband or a wife. But do we take the time to really get to know our spouse, to really hear their heart, to feel their hurts, pray with them and pray for them and really care about them as a person, as a human being, and the person they are inside? Do we really take that time? No, I fulfilled this responsibility over here. And we do this with our children as well. We buy them lots of things. We take care of their physical desires. But do we take the time to really spend time playing ball with them when they're kids, or just teaching them how to do stuff and just hanging out with them and interacting with them, dialoguing with them, spending time with them? And so oftentimes we can get caught up into giving people in relationships what we want them to have only, instead of what they're really crying out for in their hearts, really thirsty for and needy. So what has happened is Martha is trying to impose what her values on Jesus and on Mary. This is what's important to me, that we entertain really well and we do this great meal. And so this is valuable to me and important to me, and it should be important to you, Mary, and it should be important to you, Jesus. And she's finding out it isn't. So Martha comes to Jesus and asks Jesus to lighten her workload. That's what she's saying. Lighten my workload. Give me some more help. And Jesus answers, not by giving her more help, but by helping her to see she's carrying too much. You're overburdened. You got too many things on your plate, and half those things don't even matter. Get them off of your plate. So Jesus doesn't help her carry the load. He's trying to help her lighten her workload. And this is what happens in our lives as well, when we take on too much. And we want to force others then to help us with our workload, and then we get angry, we get frustrated with them when things are not accomplished, and we cry out to the Lord because we want him to make other people make our life better, easier. But often God will show us that that's not what he really wants in our lives, that he has a better plan. So in the church, we need servants, we need singers, we need worshipers, and we need workers. Every church does. Let's see what verse 42 says. Jesus says, but one thing is needful, and Mary has chosen that good part which will not be taken away from her. So what we do with Jesus is a whole lot more important than what we do for Jesus. What we do with him is more important than what we do for him. And just as we don't want to get too down on Martha, let's carry her story out, because we could leave this story and think Martha is just way out of focus and she's just a servant but not a worshiper. But I want to tell you, there's a whole lot going on with Martha. In the book of John, chapter 11, it talks to us about a time when Lazarus was dead, Martha's brother. He was dead for 4 days. And then Mary is so upset when Jesus finally does come, Mary doesn't even leave the house to go see Jesus. Martha, when she hears that Jesus comes, runs out of the house to meet him. And when she meets Jesus, Martha and Jesus talk about some really, really deep and important spiritual things. And Martha says something that's one of the two most amazing statements ever made about Jesus by anyone that walked with him on the earth. The first one was Peter, when he said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Martha makes an equally powerful statement. We're going to read it. John chapter 11, verse 20. "Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him. But Mary was sitting in the house. Then Martha said to Jesus, 'Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now, I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give it to you.'" Now, you can see in Martha a very deep faith. I mean, she's got a strong faith. Her brother has just died, and she's saying some pretty amazing things. And then Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." And Martha said I know that he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day. And then Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life, and he who believes in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die." Jesus said, "Do you believe this?" Listen to what Martha said. She said to him, "Yes, Lord, I believe you are the Christ, the Son of God, who has come into the world." So Martha makes the most incredibly clear statement of belief and profession of faith in Christ. This is a bold declaration of faith. I also want you to go back to our text. Verse 39 in chapter 10 of Luke. I want you to circle one little word in your Bible. It's a little four-little word. It's called "also." It says, "And she had a sister called Mary, who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word." You see, Martha had spent many hours sitting at the feet of Jesus as well as Mary. Both Martha and Mary found time at the feet of Jesus. They found time to worship him and really spend time with him. And in doing so, they developed a depth of spiritual walk and growth with him. Amen? Let's stand. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for this example of these two precious women of God. Lord, we do need more Marthas. We need more Marys. But Lord, each one of us have that tendency to be one or the other, more worshiper, more worker. Lord, it's a challenge to both all of us to develop in both of these areas. Lord, that we would be people of balance, that we would be people that fully work and serve you with our whole heart, and people that fully worship you with our whole heart as well. In Jesus' name, amen.
We hope God has spoken to you through this podcast. Tell your friends and please visit us on the web at www.calvarychapelfoothillranch.com.